ABC Radio Australia.
Well, as we touched on earlier in the show, Samoa's Prime Minister Lauli Alimaliatoa Leautia Schmidt is back in the country after 8 weeks in New Zealand receiving medical treatment. But that's not why he's making headlines at the moment. He was at the centre of a public confrontation with members of the country's daily newspaper, the Samoa Observer, on the weekend, which allegedly saw journalists threatened and the paper's editor assaulted outside the Prime Minister's house. The PM has since announced a ban on the Samoa Observer from covering his press conferences, accusing it of publishing misleading articles. Now, to get a clearer picture of what's unfolded, we are joined by the editor of the Samoa Observer, Shaveen Chan, who has phoned in from Apia. Talofa, Shaveen, and welcome to the show.
Talofa lava. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I do want to start with the ban itself. Like, how were you informed, and did that actually come as a surprise?
Well, it was a surprise him making an announcement that he's giving us a ban. But given the fact that, that is not going to stop the work of journalists, it may be a bit difficult getting him, but it doesn't really stop the work that we are trying to do, because we are trying to be the voice of the people and trying to highlight what the country needs. And we're also trying to hold the government to account as well. So the ban, yes, it may make things a bit more difficult, but it doesn't really put a stop to what we are trying to do.
Shaveen, look, I know that the Prime Minister gave a list of reasons as to why he imposed the ban, but do you think it was actually in response to the confrontation at his home over the weekend?
Well, yeah, it added on to that, but I think it really all began when we started questioning the publication of a doctored image of him when he was meeting with the Foreign Minister of New Zealand, Winston Peters. Those questions remain to be unanswered, and he feels that we have tarnished his reputation by asking those questions. Well, he's the leader of the nation and he needs to answer to the people, and that's where we come in. We hold him to account and we ask those questions, whether he may like it or not. But yeah, I guess so.
Well, showing up to his house that on the weekend, was that the reason why you wanted to ask those questions?
No, well, the thing was that he was away for 8 weeks and there was no real sort of correspondence from him to the people of Samoa directly. He chose to speak to New Zealand-based social media broadcasters, which he favours. He spoke to them, but there was no real questions and answers. He made statements, and there was this lack of communication. People did genuinely want to know how he is, how his health was, and that was the reason why we were there. We tried to make it to the airport, but we missed him because he was whisked away. And we just went there with a good intention to say, "Hi, PM, how are you? And how your treatment has been." There was no malice or anything to him, or to dog him with serious questions. I guess he just didn't like it.
Well, let's chat about that confrontation, Shaveen. You know, the article has been shared widely. I know it's caused a stir, but could you give us a breakdown of what actually took place?
My staff, my journalist, Manawi Faulalu, she was the one who was actually who went up to the gate and approached the police. And in her company was BBC journalist Dr. Mandeep Rai, who was actually doing a book on values all over the world. And she was talking about doing a little bit on Samoa, adding onto a book how Samoa's families and relationship actually and the values of service actually give value. So that's what of a book she was there for. So and the journalist was told to go away. I arrived on the scene because Manawi had asked me to bring camera lenses. So I just came in to drop off the camera lenses. Put the camera lenses in a bag, and by the time I was walking back to my car, two unidentified men came out of the gate, and they straightaway started to push me around. I guess they didn't push the Manawi and them around because they were ladies. I got pushed around and had the door slammed onto my face, And what was surprising was that even the police were present there. They did not do anything.
Wow. Shalveen, and again, it sounds like you were physically confronted again by those two men. Were you in any way hurt? If so, I mean, have you actually filed a report into the incident?
Well, the door in the face of the jaw still hurts, but I have filed an official complaint with the police, and I'm hopefully that they do their due diligence and do their investigations.
We spoke to our reporter, Adele Fruin, there earlier in the show about whether it's common or it's uncommon to approach the Prime Minister's house. Did you feel it was necessary to approach the Prime Minister at his home?
Well, we have done it before. We have approached FEMA at a house, and if the need be, we approach any sort of minister at their home, because at the end of the day, I mean, they are public figures and they work for the public and they should answer to the public. So if there are serious matters or matters that need to be highlighted, for example, a prime minister who was away for 8 weeks, just want to say, "Hi, Prime Minister, welcome back. Do you have anything to say to the people?" Things like this. I mean, if Albanese goes to the USA and he comes back, I'm sure journalists are waiting for him at the airport.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking to the editor of the Samoa Observer, Shalveen Chan, in regards to allegedly seeing journalists threatened and the paper's editor himself assaulted outside the Prime Minister's house. Shalveen, look, the PM was in New Zealand, right, for a long time receiving their treatment. Were you actually getting regular updates on his status, or do you feel like you were kept in the dark during his absence?
Well, he did initially, the first 2 weeks, he did update on his health that he was walking and all that. But after that, there were no regular updates, so to go on. And there was no government. We confirmed this with the Ministry of the Prime Minister and the Cabinet. There were no government officials or no press secretariat officials with him who could actually give us an information. And it was also confirmed that he's on a medical trip in his capacity as the Prime Minister. But he did hold curtsy calls from the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Christopher Luxon, and even Winston Peters. He even met with activist Arthur Nayatha on his movement, where he's hoping to get Pacific Islanders 3 months visa on arrival in New Zealand. So he did meet with those people. But in terms of regular updates and being in contact with the media, that we feel was not there.
Are you confident, though, the paper can now really can still properly operate without access to the Prime Minister?
Oh, yes. I mean, the history of Samoa Observer, we've been at this road before. And as long as we know what we are doing, we're working for the people. I mean, we're trying our best to ensure that the people of this nation are well informed, that they know where their money is spent. If there's corruption, we highlight it. And if any lines are crossed, we highlight it as well. And if people are not, for example, if people are not getting their medicine, if the medicine is in short supply, if they're not getting food at the hospital, or if there's illegal dumping going on, causing environmental damages, and if somebody's child has been beaten up and he's in ICU and the police have not done anything, we still continue to highlight those things. The work of the media does not stop over there, because the people, at the end of the day, people are affected by the policies that are made, and these policies need to be well consulted with. The people need to have a say in it, and most of all, people need to understand how these things actually going to affect them. So our role as journalists, as the media, does not really stop, because, you know, I mean, the government, they just need to accept the fundamental truth that freedom for people depends on the freedom of the press. And freedom and independent journalism is an essential public good. It's also the backbone, you know, of you know, things like accountability, justice, equality, and human rights. I mean, there must be, with journalists, we must be able to report freely without fear or favor.
I was just saying, do you think, Shalveen, that this treatment of the PM, is it reflective of how he's treated media in the past, though?
Well, when before he did before during his campaign, when he was campaigning as the leader of the FAST party, there were certain occasions where we actually caught him out and we questioned him about the statements he had made which were untrue. And one of those statements he made about the former prime minister, in which the former prime minister is actually taking him to court and suing him for $550,000. So those kind of things, we caught him out and we highlighted that. During those days, he actually banned us from coming at any FAST party events or FAST party press conferences.
Well, then, do you think it's indicative of how he will actually treat media going forward? What do you think?
Well, I hope, because late yesterday afternoon, he issued another statement saying he was only temporarily suspending the Samoa Observer, and he hopes that there changes. We hope that the Prime Minister himself, I mean, he's been chosen by the people to lead. He's been chosen, and the majority of Samoans have voted for him. So he's our chosen leader. And I hope that as we move forward, he realizes the role the media play and the need for him to be transparent to us, because transparency itself will also breed in accountability. And that is what we want. We want accountability from the government. We want to highlight things like corruption. I mean, as a social issue, meth is a big is just increasing on a daily basis in Samoa, and one of the key factors over there is corruption within the public service, or within where the border is, or workers at port. There's also issues about children not going to school, child vendors, the cost of education being high. There's not enough doctors. There's not enough teachers. We want to keep highlighting these things, not because we want to demean the government. We've done it for the past government and the government before that. What we want to do is highlight these issues so these issues can be worked upon and sound policies can be made, which in the long term help the people of Samoa, absolutely, not burden them as well.